Labor, then everybody's going to...
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
And here it is, the last Thursday in the month of December, and Christmas is over, and everyone has a nice Christmas, I hope.
Yeah.
Good. All right, then. So tonight it's questions and answers. But before questions and answers, let's look at this treatment that I brought. And it's a treatment for prosperity. I handed it out one other time, but today when I was going through things, I thought this would be a good thing to start the new year with. And we're going to do more treatment. We dropped treatment there for a while, but we're going to do it. So anyway, let's go through this. God is the source and supply is non-ending. The universe fills the space with itself. And the faces I see are really God looking at God. So I see God in each face and space and know the sameness of our oneness. It is all divine mind. So I speak from this shared truth of knowing that the well is bottomless and the cup is always full. I also have what I need, and my heart's desires are available by merely requesting them. So I do that now. I call forth the blessed good health that makes my journey easy. I choose a peaceful mind that assures clear thinking and wisdom. I choose fabulous, nourishing, and supporting relationships for joy in my destiny. I choose wealth beyond borders, for I choose to give as mightily as I receive. And of course, I am receptive to receiving my gifts with a heart and mind filled with great gratitude. So I release all concern, worry, challenge, and negativity, for my vessel is cleansed to receive my joyful prosperity. I declare my worthiness and let God do the work. For these words, I receive my blessings now, and so it is. This is wonderful. It's all the things that we talk about God is the source of your supply, that we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. We often talk about the well, and it's a bottomless thing. Remember, that's like the little bag that we carry, which has the things in it. It's always full. And the other thing here is, I choose... See, we have to choose a peaceful mind that assures clear thinking and wisdom. And I call forth good health for our journey. It's very difficult to go through this life if you're not in good health. And there's no reason why we can't all be in good health. And, of course, relationships. Most people do not choose fabulous, nourishing, and supportive relationships. They're around people that do not support them. If you're around those people and your relationships with people aren't working, get rid of those people. There are plenty of people out there that want to help you, want to support you. Don't mess with those other people. And, of course, I am receptive to my gifts with a heart and mind filled with great gratitude. Now, the bottom here, So I release all concerns, worries, and challenges of negativity, for my vessel is cleansed to receive my joyful prosperity. Your vessel, you, your mind, you have to get rid of the negativity. You have to get rid of all those little things that go on in there that keep negating what you want. And the other marvelous thing is here, you just choose. You know, say, when you want something, you choose. I'm always have what I need, and my heart's desires are available by merely requesting them. By merely requesting them. You don't have to do all this heavy work that people seem that they have to do. You request what you want. And this thing that we call God is more than willing and able to give that to you. We hold all those things up ourselves because we don't think that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. So with the coming year, make up your mind that you know that about yourself. And use that in your thinking. All right, I'm going to do two more things, and then you can ask questions. I don't know if I read this in the class. I think I did once about Addie, my friend that's 90-some years old. Laughlin, and she now lives here. Help. For those who have heard of my fall, please bear with me while I tell the others. I had a fall on a payment in August, which was the beginning of my slowdown. Helen and I... we're going to see a friend in the rest home. Anyway, she's all right. Thank goodness I am ambidextrous. I'm still having trouble writing with my right hand, but I'm now wearing a support. I am still very happy and satisfied living here in Merle Gardens. It is wonderful to have Helen living here also. She is on the second floor and I'm on the fourth floor. There are lots of activities here, so it's not a dull life. So anyway, this woman, I think, 93. At 93, I'm finally slowing down. Now, she's 93 with a wonderful attitude like this. Today came a New Year's card from a friend of mine who I went to grade school with, who is the same age as I am, and she starts out with her intentions and this, that, and the other thing. All I want to tell you, personally, this, that, and the other thing. Here it is. My best intentions were to send you a very nice Christmas card, but time has a way of slipping by when you get to this awful age. And she's got awful underlined. Then she goes on to tell about her husband with his kidney stone, somebody's having a toe amputated, she's had this done, that done, and the whole works. But she's my age, and this awful age, and then even underlines it. Look, it's underlined. Now, I would say Betsy's 64, because I'm going to be 65, and I was the oldest one in the class. So, she's 64. 93. 30-some years difference. Do you think this one's going to make it to 93?
No.
Because of the attitude, this awful age. And here, 93, I'm having fun, I'm doing things, I'm thrilled with life, I don't lead a dull life here.
And like she said, luckily I'm ambidextrous.
Yes.
So she can't write with the right hand, okay, well,
right.
I'll do it with my
Absolutely.
Hand.
And this lady I've known since the Atlanta Church Religious Science, she was Kennedy Schultz's secretary. But there's the difference in mind, and that's all it is what you are thinking and what you are doing. And you cannot say it's an awful age, you know. Things are going to happen, but we have to learn how to manage our minds and our thinking about those things. Mm-hmm. And if we think it's an awful age, what is the mind going to prove to you? That it's an awful age, and things are just going to keep happening to you. So, I had another aunt that died Christmas Eve. She was 97.
Mm-hmm.
And Ada died now. And Ada was the one who kept her bar open at 97. She still worked the bar every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she painted, she wrote poetry, and she wrote songs. So, you see, we can do it. We can do it. So don't think it's an awful age or that you're growing old and this is going to happen to you and that's going to happen to you. That's a bunch of hogwash, and it's a big publicity thing, propaganda from the television and everything else that tells you all that stuff, and people buy into it, you know. Now at this age, what do you expect? Doctors buy into it all the time, because that's the first thing that always comes out of my, when I ask a doctor a question, he said, well, now you know it's your age. The last doctor said that to me. I said, listen, certainly you learn more than that in medical school, and if you say that one more time, I'm going to jump across the desk and hit you in the face. Of course, I don't see that doctor anymore either. But it's up to us. It's all done with our mind. We live in a mental world. And regardless of what's going on outside, and do not let it convince you. You've heard me say many times, the world outside is convincing. Race mind is convincing. But you also have to realize that your own mind is convincing. Especially you, young lady. You allow your mind to convince you of all kinds of craziness. So don't do that to yourself. It's just the mind, and it's just, you have to stop it. You are the one who remembers Mary Baker Eddy. What did she say? Argue.
Oh, argue.
Like a judge.
Right, and you must always win.
And you must win. You must argue with this mind of yours, or it'll take over. Okay? So, it's done with our mind, and it's done with attitude. Remember Catherine, when the doctor said to her, how old are you? And she said, 90-something or other at the time. And he said to her, oh, you must have good genes. And she looked at him and said, don't you think attitude has something to do with it? So it's attitude. It's the way you're thinking about things. So, in this new year, know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance.
Oh, you guys, let's do the matter dance. Come on.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
So, now we'll open the floor to questions.
I think the dog had a question.
The dog has a question. Okay, what does the dog want to know?
How come you guys don't know that without having to sing it?
I don't have a question, I have a little comment. This fellow that, he remembers you. The guy, he went to the Hollywood Church a lot. In fact, that's where he went all the time. His name is Bill Brewer.
Yes, I know Bill.
And I said, you know, I started this class a couple of years ago. And they said, it's based in religious science. He goes, well, good for you. Have you noticed a change? And I said, well, yeah, I have. I actually noticed a big change. Well, who's teaching it? And I said, Dallas Stein. He goes, well, he's a good kid. Yeah. What Bill said. Uh-huh. And I, of course, then couldn't help it. I said, it's been a little over a year since you've seen him. Is that But then, you know, Bill's 85 or 86. Yeah. He's, But the attitude is what it is. I mean, and this Bill has got this positive attitude that won't quit.
Yeah.
He's been very successful in life. And just, you know, he's just like, you know.
Yeah.
That does remind me of a friend of mine that was going to the gym and working out, and he had a workout partner who was in his 90s. He was talking about his son who had some life decisions or something to make, and he says, I was telling the kid this and that. He says, you know, but kids, they don't listen. The son was in his 70s. Kids, they don't listen.
Right. Well, you get confused when that cousin of ours that lived to be 102, mm-hmm. My mother once said, she moved in with her daughter, and I thought, oh, well, that makes sense. I'm thinking of a young person. Her daughter was already 75. Moved in with her daughter. I thought, oh, young person. Her daughter was 75.
I'm glad we're having this adjustment today, because this last week I just wasn't feeling my best, and I thought, walking down the street, I thought, this is the first time in my life I felt my age, according to what society thinks is my age. Mm-hmm. And then I said to myself, that's not right. And so I had to consciously make the decision, because it was so easy just to believe that, well, you know, my bones or joints are starting to, you know, weigh me down. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm only, you know, in my family, there's longevity too. And I'm just thinking, aside from the affirmations, I'm going to start doing stuff like buying myself flowers and more incense and, you know, I'd like to take bubble baths more often. I don't have a tub, but I might go rent a hotel room for a weekend and just to take care of myself. And so I think that's part of making my affirmations feel right. You know, it's not just saying it, it's actually doing something.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We talk about that all the time. Remember when I said, mm-hmm. I am a reader, mm-hmm. then I had to pick up a book and start to read. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing this affirmation, then you have to start pampering yourself. So you have to start doing something, saying, oh, I'm going to buy flowers, I'm going to have incense, I'm going to take bubble baths, and never doing it. Mm-hmm. What are you telling your mind?
Yeah. That you can't have what you want.
You're not worthy,
deserving, lovely.
And you're saying things, and you're then not taking the action. So you're telling your mind that, I don't really mean it.
No matter what you say, that's right.
Yeah, I don't really mean it.
Well, because you don't, right? Yeah. Is that the whole point? I mean, if you do mean it, if you do believe it, it's all about belief.
It's all about belief. And if you say it and don't do anything about it, remember, it boils down to God helps those who help themselves. Mm-hmm. You must start doing something, and then God fills that in for you and comes to you. Once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. But most people won't make the decision. They won't start it. They say, oh, well, I'll buy the flowers, but a year goes by and they don't buy the flower. You only have to buy one stem, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't have to buy $30 worth of flowers every week, you know. Or go to Trader Joe's and buy orchids. I buy orchids all the time, and I keep them for a month, sometimes 6 weeks, for $9. Figure out that, you know.
Right.
Amortize that. And everyone's, oh, how do you keep them? They're so hard to keep and all this other thing. Well, I never believed they were hard to keep, so they stay nice for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were talking the other day about this whole, you know, the money stuff.
Yes.
That is seemingly, for many of us, the biggest challenge because we've given it so much power. So I was reading in The Soul of Money the other day, and one of the things you have underlined is the chapter on sufficiency. You know, that there is always enough, and that goes along with the money is always freely circulating in my life, and there's always a divine surplus. And this is out of Esther and Jerry Hicks, Abraham. If you have the ability to imagine it, which imagination, or even to think about it, this universe has the ability and the resources to deliver it fully unto you. For this universe is like a well-stocked kitchen with every ingredient imaginable at your disposal. So my question, and something I said would be a good topic or something for you to say, is it's easy when we can look, it seems easier to be able to look at going from non-health to health, from no relationship to relationship. But when we talk about money, from a fact of not having much to millions or whatever you want to say, and then looking at it like a well-stocked kitchen. So, and then the other thing is when you said, but it's, God is not separate. It is the Father within who doeth the work. So those two things, the money challenge, and that, you know, it's so easy to say thank you, but it's really thank you in here. So.
But the inner God and the outer God are one and the same God. But when you're always looking to the outer God, you're causing separation. You're saying somebody else is doing that. God works in, as, and through you because you are divine. You are a part of that whole thing. And that's what you have to always remember. Yes, and God does do the work, you see. But you have to stick with that. But what we do is we think God is outside of us when we do that all the time. Instead of knowing that it's the Father within that doeth the work, that we have to get up on move, we have to do something, and then all the pieces fall together. And the idea about the imagination and so forth is the idea that if God does not give you an ice cream cone and then before you're allowed to lick it, take it away from you, you see. So if you get an idea, desire, and you use your imagination, if you can think those up, you have to have them. What mind can conceive, man can achieve. And that's what we have to remember. And then we've been taught, and we live in this world where we're always separating God. We think God lives in heaven. We think there's a place. Remember when I was in Tennessee, and they were going to let me go on the radio till they asked me, do you believe in heaven? And I said, absolutely. And they, whatever the next question was, and I said, oh, do you mean it's a geographical place? And they said, yes. And I said, no. They said, well, then you can't be on the radio. So, because heaven is not a geographical place. Heaven is everywhere. And heaven is in your mind. And you're the one that's making those choices all the time. So you have to prove God all the time. God does exist. But God, if you don't believe in God, if you don't see God and so forth, what's the sense of God existing? How do you expect God to help you? You have to start recognizing God. You have to see God in everything. With this, every time I often tell people when you go to an interview or anything, remember it's only God talking to God. Everywhere you look, you have to see God. And does that answer your question?
Yes. It's just, yeah. That's a good visual.
So think of those. You cannot have that. And don't get discouraged and disgusted and all that and think it's not coming. Think of it then. Ask the kitchen and think of all those ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all the little dowels and so forth, turning and so
mm-hmm.
forth. Well, here
mm-hmm.
you are in this kitchen. You want to bake a cake. And let's say it's a special type of cake. Well, it needs this ingredient and that ingredient and this ingredient and that ingredient. You see. So it's all there, but it's all gone. Everything's made of the same stuff. It's just the way it's put together. Everything's made of the same stuff.
So why is the money stuff so challenging for us?
The money stuff is so challenging for us because we buy into what the race mind is saying all the time. And we all grew up with families who started out with, do you think money grows on trees? Turn off the lights. Aren't we supporting the electric company around here? No, our family doesn't buy things like that. Do you have a pair of shoes? Yes, I have a pair of shoes. Then why would you want another pair of shoes? You can only wear one pair at a time. You see? Mm-hmm. So we have to get rid of all of those things.
That's amazing.
With regards to the phrasing the question, you've said there is no why.
There's no what?
Why.
No, I said never ask the question.
Never ask why. And so I have to rephrase this because I would like to know, what does my mind gain from creating disruption in my life? What does it think is the benefit of inviting an automobile accident or to to be living in a substandard condition or to be short on finances?
You want to know what the payoff is. And there's always a payoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the payoff is, you can talk about it. Mm-hmm. You can feel sorry and pitiful mm-hmm. about yourself. You can get sympathy from your relatives and your mm-hmm. family. And you get so used to doing that that you start to assume that that's who you are. So in the new year, realize that you're not that person. Mm-hmm. And don't bring last year, remember, into this year, mm-hmm. or you will repeat the same thing. As for the question why and so forth, we don't ask that question why, because the mind will throw up everything to you and it'll just keep going and going and going and going and going and going, you see. So you look at it and you say, huh, what is my payoff here? What is there a lesson in this? And have I learned that lesson so I don't have to repeat it,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm. Because I tend to repeat it, as you know.
Yes, I know.
And
because you haven't learned the lesson yet.
And I desire to get beyond.
And when I say you're learning a lesson, please don't think that God is sending you things to punish you.
I know.
You know, we're doing that to ourselves to learn something. Now, we want to talk. I'll give you some examples here mm-hmm. of what recently happened to me. Since on Friday, I was pulling out of a parking space and somebody ran into the Mini Cooper, smashed the door all in.
You too.
Now, I can look at that and hear what thoughts that went through my head before mm-hmm. the Mini Cooper, before it got the smash up. Maybe you really don't deserve this car, Dallas. Mm-hmm. This is costing you a great deal of money. The payments, plus the insurance and so forth, is a big chunk. If you didn't have this, that, the other thing. Now these are just thoughts going through my head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe you're right. Maybe, you know, maybe I didn't this, that, and the other thing. Then a friend of mine just told me that they just gave another friend of mine, who I haven't introduced people to, $20,000 with no strings attached. Just do it. So I remember saying, oh my God, $20,000, I could buy this car, you know, all that kind of stuff. But now the other all that, and then the topper was, Thursday night, I drove Bill. No, not Bill.
Andy?
No, who's the... John.
John.
I drove John here and back home.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, he had just got his car smashed in that door, the same door and everything.
Oh, his energy.
So it's like
car.
A cold going around.
Absolutely.
So that's where I got it.
So there are things, if you see. So you have to look at that. So now what do I do? Okay, you have to now love what is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just sit in the other room there.
I'm going to stage you.
I'm telling you this because you see how consciousness operates and
how strong the mind, the mental will.
And that Monday, we talked about it in the Monday night class and all. You see, so it was in my mind, plus his energy in my car. Plus, now, we're not blaming him for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not, any of the things I was thinking about, you know, now what do you do about that? Well, you love it, you bless it, you release it, you love yourself, you love the person who hit you, you love everything, and you get on with your life. It can be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to sit and say, thank God I have the money to repair this car. And then I go on about my business. You always have to love what is. But by sitting and letting your mind say, well, if you'd have done this, if you'd have done that, if John wouldn't have been in the car, if you weren't been thinking those thoughts, Dallas, if you wouldn't have been on that street, if you didn't go out that day, and it's going to get you nowhere. So as soon as you learn to love it, bless it, and release it, and say, I've learned my lesson, I don't have to repeat this ever again. Just say,
okay. So that's kind of an affirmation. I know you wanted to say something, but what you just said, I just want to pick up on and unpack that a minute. Not the love, bless, and release. What did you say after that? I've learned my lesson. I don't have to repeat that. But I've heard that when you're doing affirmations, not to use the don't or the no or... So...
Oh.
And you frame it positive.
How do you frame that affirmation?
Well, let me frame. You're taking that out. I'll give you an example. Years ago, when I was writing for Creative Thought Magazine, I wrote a treatment, and the title of the treatment was I Am Not My Yesterday.
Okay.
Now, they let that go through, you see, the editors and everyone, and even, I remember it was discussed by the Richelieus at one of the conferences, because they said, in this case, you can, because, you see, I'm not my yesterday.
Got it.
So,
okay.
See, I've learned all I can. I don't have to repeat this.
Got it. Okay.
You see. It's like outlining. As soon as people hear the word outlining, then they go crazy, and then they never can outline. Well, outlining does not mean what people think it is. You have to be specific exactly. That's not outlining, you see. And that don't, that's not a negative in that case.
Okay.
You see.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
So when I go to see a movie, and the person in the seat next to me comes in a hacking, nasty coffee, sniffly, cold, and it's just, you know, sitting right next to me. My first thought is to resent it and go, how dare you bring that into my space? But then I have to adjust my thinking and go, that person's problem belongs to that person. It would be like you're knowing that someone brought the negativity to your car, and then somehow you dispel that before you're infected. What's the deal here?
All right, first of all, I never said that John brought the negativity to your car. I only used that he was in, and that could have been one of the things. I'm not blaming.
I understand.
Oh, John. I know. Well, next time I see him.
Oh, yes. See, I'm not blaming him. I'm saying here are the things.
Sure.
These are things that happened, but there were lots of things that happened.
There were lots of things that happened. Right. Lots of ingredients from the kitchen to make that.
Right.
You see, lots of ingredients happen. So that's why you don't ask why.
Right.
And that's why you finally give that up. Mm-hmm. Now, in your case, with what you had just told me, that first of all, if you're going out to an event like that, before you go, you have to know that people that are sneezing and so forth are not in your environment. They do not sit down beside you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they happen then to sit down beside you, you have to love, bless, and release them and realize that those germs are theirs, not yours, and you're not taking them on.
Right.
You see. But always start out with you do not attract that into your life. Mm-hmm. You do not attract people with colds into your life, mm-hmm. you see. Now, this year, we've been going, this is December, I haven't even heard them saying on television this year, the cold season's here, the flu season's here. They never mentioned it. I haven't heard anyone mention that. I've heard several people say there were things going around the office. In fact, one of my clients, when she said, when she came in, I went to hug, which, oh, I have a cold. I said, come here. Yes. It's your cold, not my cold. Mm-hmm. Most colds come from confusion, you see. Mm-hmm. And if you're not confused, you don't get them. Now, the other thing that I absolutely recommend is that neti pot, and mm-hmm. use it every day during this season. I use it every day all through the year. And if things are collecting, it takes them out. That's using wisdom and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And what you just said about confusion, which is interesting, the neti pot goes up and through here, which the mind is what's confused.
Yes.
So it kind of flushes that. And I pop a little airborne every 3 days.
Yeah. Well, and any of those things are precaution. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can take that, you see. Mm-hmm. But we have to use wisdom.
Which are mostly a way of manifesting the affirmation that I am well and I am protected.
Yes.
Because you're doing something that ritualizes that protection to take the potion or whatever.
Just put a bubble around you, put a white light around you, put a gold light around you, put anything around you, and realize that it only gets that far and goes down. And it doesn't come in to you. Look at people who work in hospitals and like the TB and so forth. People don't pick up the who's working with those people. They don't pick up the TB.
Right. Yeah, my father was a surgeon and worked in hospitals all his life, and I grew up in hospitals, and we didn't get any sicker than anybody else, you know.
So it goes back to what race mind tells us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to catch it.
Yes.
People worked with AIDS patients and said, "Oh, I don't worry about it. Well, I have to take care of them."
You see, if you go into a drugstore, which I don't, I forget when I was in a drugstore. A couple of years ago, I was in a drugstore. Oh, I knew. Somebody sent me for aspirin. Oh, my good God. I never knew they made so many aspirins in my entire life. One for this, one for that. I mean, it was just incredible. Or go down the cold cough aisle. I got there. And you see, if you're in those, and I go to in those supermarkets or the drugstores, if you ever look, the parking lots are full, and people have they have push carts. Who ever heard of a push cart at a drugstore? We had a little corner drugstore in our town with the pharmacist behind there, and you went in and he made something up and gave it to you. You didn't take a shopping cart to buy drugs, you know, over the counter drugs. There's that many over the counter drugs, and people say, oh, well, I'm getting a cold, but that's all right because I'll get this drug and that drug. And it's one great big lump of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to do that.
And love, bless, and release it when, if someone sits next to me.
Yes.
But preferably create the bubble before you go in.
Create the bubble before you go in.
Don't buy in.
And don't buy
Which in. I do every time I get on the motorcycle, and I'm now doing every time I get in the truck, since Thursday, the truck thing.
Well, there was a...
this one, you know, the license plate.
F-150.
Yeah, right.
That's what hit the Mini Cooper.
Really?
But I don't think she saw me. But it doesn't matter. It's over and done with now. Now I have to deal with it. No.
Well, I want to. I still am spending some energy on asserting that it was not my fault. My truck was stationary at the time this car came by and swiped.
Ah, okay.
Because I have no need for the burden of raised insurance rates and stuff for somebody else's fault.
All right. So here we've always been to blame. I would like to blame this woman.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I loved, blessed, and released her and said to myself, I don't care. The issue is not, the issue is never who's to blame for.
Mm-hmm.
It's there, the situation. I call an event, not an accident. Mm-hmm. Here is an event that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can take the blame, she can take the blame, or no one can take the blame. What difference does it make? But now, you asked the question about money earlier. You answered her question. Mm-hmm. You want to put the blame on her because of money, mm-hmm. because you don't want to pay your deductible, you don't want your insurance rates to go up, you don't want all that to happen.
See how it'll see how.
Mm-hmm. And you see, that's how powerful.
We just struggle with this money thing.
With this money thing. So when mine's $500 deductible, I said to myself, thank God I have the $500. Now, I'm not going to worry about my insurance going up because it probably won't. Why do you want to immediately assume that it's going to go up? You see, that's another thing in race mind, because we're taught, oh, you have an accident, your insurance rates are going to go up. Mm-hmm. We don't know that that's true. So get that out of your mind and know that your insurance rate is not going to go up, right? So then after I got it to the garage, and the garage man said to me, oh, it's going to take 3 or 4 weeks to get this done. Why, well, you got to be joking. Then they gave, I have to pay for a rental car, assuming that it's my fault, we'll say. At 3 or 4 weeks at $30 a day, I don't think so. That's a hell of a lot of money, you see. So I'm going to, so then I had to love, bless, and release that. So when I talked to the auto body shop today, I said, is it really going to take 3 or 4 weeks? He said, no. I said, I think it'll be like 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you get carried away, and that money can, oh, $600 is going to cost me, plus that's $1,100, plus this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Instead of loving it, blessing it, releasing it, and letting it go.
Okay.
Because when we stay attached, that's the law of attraction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because the law of attraction is a law that works both ways.
Yes.
So if we concentrate on what we don't want, we attract it.
Yes.
If we move toward what we do want, we attract it.
But in these situations, what the thing is to watch your mind, because your mind always wants to blame somebody else for what happened. It's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't your fault, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know whose fault it was. That's a man-made thing. How can it be anyone's fault if all was God?
Mm.
But you see, your mind will tumble that around and tumble that around, and your mind is probably saying, well, it better not be my fault, and she was the one who was wrong, or whoever hit you, they were the ones who did it, and
Because they want to assign the money. Because they want to assign the money responsibility also.
Well, of course they want to do that.
And,
everybody wants to do that.
That's that big game. So if you love, bless, and release them and let it go, hand it over. Hand that then over
then
to
I
you.
Need not
hand
bother
that
trying
over to God and say, figure this out. I can't figure it out. And I'm not going to blame myself. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to hate myself. It was an event that happened. I was over it in 2 hours.
Mm.
That's what I was going to get to, because you said that in the past,
oh, yes.
You would have mulled it over for 2 years.
Yes.
And been dramatic,
yes.
Which we can all certainly go to. So that goes back to the, what was the, don't, the affirmation where I asked about that had the word don't. Not, you said, I am not my yesterday, but what was the one we were talking about?
I
don't need to learn.
I learned all I can from this, and I do not need to repeat it.
Okay. So.
Yes. Now, let me tell you where that came from, the whole idea of holding on to something for so long. Years ago, when I was a child, and Dennis and Jack were there, and that's my brother and cousin, they got to fighting, and they broke the coffee table in the midst of it. Then in the midst of it, we had a fireplace with, what, a damper, and had a long, you could pull this damper handle out, this long thing, and you could use it as a sword. I used to do that every once in a while. Well, this time when I pulled it out, only the handle came out. And the tube stayed in there. So we fixed the coffee table. They never knew that, but they knew that. So my father went through the whole rigmarole about how could you do this, blah, 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 blah. 30 years later, they were still talking about that. And since the damper then wouldn't close, they had a thing built for the front of a fireplace, and they had this done and that done, and da-da-da-da. Remember, Dallas, when you did that? Well, there it was. Every time I walked, it went home. The story was told, and it was repeated and repeated and repeated. After my father died, I removed that damper thing, and I took my hand, and I reached up in there and pushed that tube out, and my hand, that hanger could have been fixed at any moment. Now, this thing, so, because, yes, it could have been fixed at any moment. But they didn't bother to, and I didn't, because I was a child then. They told me, oh, it can't be fixed, it can't be done, you see. So, they kept things for 30 years. I decided, that's no way to live. But the crux to that story is, sometimes we have to reach up in there and fix things ourselves, you see. We have to fix things ourselves. It's up to us. We have the power to do these things. So you have the power to forgive yourself, and that's what you have to do. And the reason why we get upset with accidents is because we can't forgive ourselves, and we think we have to have a little bit of punishment. We're waiting for a parent to at least slap us. So now you have to be your own parent, and you have to be a loving, caring parent.
And I'm leaping forward in fear to the anticipation of a higher insurance rate, and yes. It's not necessary.
Oh, yeah, you've just jumped up, so what are you doing?
Attracting no more money. Yeah. Creating no more money.
You're creating that.
So tomorrow I'll get some polish and compound, I'll rub off the paint smear, get a $30 license plate frame, and I'm done.
Yes.
It's fixed, it's over.
Yeah.
Reach up and fix it yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let 30 years go by.
Mm-hmm.
Fix the things yourself. We can fix things. It's all done with forgiveness. And as soon as I was able to forgive her, I stepped out and said, oh, didn't you see me? And she said, what were you doing in my right of way? You pulled out in front of me. I said to her, no, let's not blame anyone right away till we find out what happened. And we want, you know, that the insurance company will be able to tell what happened by the impact or however they do that, you know. And if I were the cause of it, then I'm willing to pay the money and pay the price, but I'm certainly not going to beat myself up over it. You see. And years ago, I had to beat myself up, not only because of the accident, because I damaged a new item. And that was no-no in my family.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yes.
I cannot damage something.
Mm-hmm. They're not easily replaced.
That's it.
Uh-huh. You must have heard that before.
All the time.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes, do you want to replace that? Yes, exactly.
It's going to come out of your allowance.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the dark night of the soul.
Well, everyone goes through the dark night of the soul, and people go through the dark night of the soul. They can go through it every week if you want to, you know. That's letting the mind turn in on you. That's the dark night of the soul. When you start to listen to the ego mind, when you start to believe all the garbage that's coming up from your mind, instead of knowing what? That I am a divine individual. I'm a divine expression of God, an individual expression of God. And that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter, and not allow the mind to destroy you. That's what the dark night of the soul does. It's that you allow your mind to destroy you, and you separate yourself from this thing that we call God. And that's where your power is. So you've lost your power, you say. And then you get even darker, because you think, well, I'm helpless. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, you get depressed, you get all that stuff when you think that you're helpless. And you are never helpless. You are never helpless. You ask somebody to help you. When you ask somebody to help you, that's asking God. But you have to be wise and use your wisdom there, which the treatment said. Have supportive people around you. Have encouraging people around you, you see. Don't have people that put you down and all that.
Well, I've done half of that. I got rid of the discouraging people. Now I have to repopulate
yes,
with encouraging people around me. Yeah.
Either that or new mill. See, I'm friends with Betsy Mill 60 some years here. And even though she's an awful time of her life, I recognize all those people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't live in their universe.
Mm-hmm.
They made them in that universe, and I can still love them. That's how they see life.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, oh, that isn't the way life should be, now I'm judging them, and it's not my place to judge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their path.
That's their path. That's their reality, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they have to figure that out themselves. I had a long discussion tonight with Dennis and Jane, that's my cousin and his wife, about diet and so forth. And I said most
diet or dying?
Diet.
Mm-hmm.
Things can be cured with the food that you eat and if you watch what you eat. And they half believe that and half don't, because, you know, in Pennsylvania for New Year's Day they serve pork and sauerkraut. Now, the sauerkraut may not be bad for you, but the pork certainly is. And they say, oh, no, it's no worse than, you know, anything else. But, of course, they're both overweight, too, you see. So, but I let them do, you know, you have to let people do what they want to do. Lead your life. You're not there. You're there to set an example. Not to criticize or say to somebody, you know, don't do that. Let them do that. Find out faster.
Well, this thing about pork, ultimately, nothing's bad for you unless you believe it to be bad for you.
And that's not absolutely true.
Yeah. Because there's a sect in India where they deliberately, they'll drink poison, they'll bathe in filth and stuff to demonstrate, which is an extreme way of going, and I'm grateful for their gesture to prove to me that nothing is harmful because it's all...
Well, they all go down and wash and the edges and things. The cesspool.
Mm-hmm.
So toilets, yes, the cesspools are there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But it is a demonstration that everything is all from the same source. Even what we consider to be filth is...
Oh,
still, you know, and in a pure state of mind and spirit, it is not harmful. So you could, as Jesus did in the desert, have to eat what he had to eat.
But he didn't eat pork.
No.
When he was in the desert.
But you also have to really...
Never ate pork.
Yes. Jewish.
And also they didn't have refrigeration back then.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you really have to have a consciousness that's
Sky.
Way up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Maharishi took 10 tabs of acid and didn't get off.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, oh, well, really, that does something to you. But that was his consciousness.
Yes.
He operated a lot higher than
I often hear people joke and say, oh, well, I'll treat and take the calories out of that cake.
Mm-hmm.
No. You're not going to.
Eat the cake and take a walk.
Yes. You have to do things.
Eat a smaller piece.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Enjoy it more.
That's one of the things, if you know, your mind, yes, the body must follow the mind,
mm-hmm.
but your body is a mechanism that, you know, if you just constantly eat grease and so forth, your body's
going
to develop.
Your liver's going to look like a duck liver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the way that one works.
Well, then, if I understand that you're going down this dark, what is it?
Dark night of the
dark
soul.
Dark night of the soul seems to be what your mind does to you, then, as I understand it, when we ask the question, why?
Yes.
Why me? Then all of a sudden, every reason why you aren't worthy, deserving, lovable, and you're not an intimate expression of God, all comes out.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why therapists thrive, the people outside there, because people want to know why I'm this way. So it boils down to, oh, you were potty trained too soon.
Right.
Remember when you peed in the alley.
Right.
Or
right.
Remember when you did this at 3. You da, 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 da.
I, of course, told them that it's your fault.
Yes. And then, but your mind goes in on you.
Right.
Goes in on you.
Right.
You just have to keep reminding yourself that you're one with God and you're being taken care of. And all these things that are happening, the accidents and so forth, are being taken care of. It's not the end of your life. And your mind immediately wants to tell you it's the end of your life, and if you have to spend that money, then you'll never get money, you'll never have money.
It's the last dime
you're ever going to get.
Right.
You're wiping me out, this, that, and the other thing. Well, you see, you can't do that to yourself.
Right.
You say.
Because then you just create more fear.
So what do you have to go back to? Money is always forgiveness.
Okay.
In my life, and I always have a divine surplus. And if God is my supply. So these things, all these things happen. And when you get into that mill, and I got into, after the accident, got into the mill, I could see everyone that wants to make a buck out off of this. You know, it'll take 3 or 4 weeks, and rent a car, do this, get this, you know, your insurance will go up, this will happen, that, this will, da, 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 da. Well, it just keeps multiplying. It's just, it gets out of hand, the whole thing gets out of hand. So you have to sit down very calmly. And what do you have to, in an accident, what is the first thing that you should be thankful for?
That you're not hurt.
And forget that.
Yeah. See? Because our minds go to...
And I said to myself, this car is lovely, but then I said, so I need a car.
That's right.
It's owning your car.
It's just sheet metal.
And I'm over, you know.
Right.
I can get over
and
that.
And it's paid for.
It'll put itself... You know, back. Once I had beautiful teacups that were eggshell, and a little chip got in the one of them. Do you know that haunted me for at least 5 years? How could that chip have gotten into that cup? So you see how
this
is how I've improved.
There's a saying from Rumi, one of your teachers, that the bowl is already broken.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It means no matter how old or how beautiful or how new a thing is, ultimately, it's already broken. So enjoy it now.
Yes.
Don't worry about it.
So then if it smashes...
Because that's everything that came into existence comes into existence to go out of existence.
Including the dark night of the soul, because this too shall pass.
And that's what immediately you must say to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And say, now, I'm only going to allow myself 15 minutes of this, you see.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. I gave a talk once at the Atlanta Church of Religious Science, and I said, well, I was at home having one of my 15-minute depressions, of course, laughter every which way. And I said, which is much better since I've gotten into Religious Science, because my depressions used to last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You see,
right.
You do not have to let them last 20 years.
Yes.
That's your decision. How long is it going to bug you? Let's put your life back together.
Right.
It's an event that happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And events fail, people don't.
Yes. Yes. There's no such thing as failure.
You hear that, Wilson? He knows it.
So it's just believing. So in this new year, know that God is the source of your supply, that God is the only power that there is, and stop being convinced by other things, you see. In this letter, the one woman, and I'll end with this, Betsy, in the letter she also said she heard from my sister-in-law, Patsy, who said talked about my gallbladder. You know, when I came back from eating everything in Pennsylvania and taking care of Aunt Catherine, I was sick for over a month. You know, I was in bed most of the time. They wanted me to have the operation, have my gallbladder and everything taken out. I never mentioned that to anybody. And I always showed up for these classes, except that one night when I got so sick, I had to rush out there. That was my gallbladder that did that. Now I'm completely healed from my gallbladder, and I still own my own gallbladder, and I did that not only through treatment and science of mind, I used wisdom, and I changed my diet, you see. So you have to use wisdom and change your diet. But people immediately, you know, and I will never tell Patsy now another thing, because so, see, that's not good in consciousness. Now she tells somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else. You see, that's why I
have all
those
believers.
Because I, yes,
in your
about how sick you are,
about how sick I was,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want that is consciousness coming back at me.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
sure,
Because they'll treat you as if you're saved.
Absolutely.
And they will believe it.
And they immediately started to say, all of them. Even my brother called me to say, Dallas, go ahead and have the operation. Because he's had three back operations. I said, Jeff, that's all well and good, but you had three back operations and none of them were successful, and now you want me to have my gallbladder. Oh, he said, it's easy, it's simple. He said, they just put four little holes in. He said, my best friend Doris just had it done, and she's in her 90s, and she never felt so good. Well, I did lots of investigation, and I did lots of things on it, and it said, do not do that to yourself. Yes, they can do it so easy and quickly now, and it's become a $2 billion business in the United States, and that's why surgeons immediately mentioned gallbladder, they say, have it taken out, because it's so easy to do. And they say that the gallbladder is expendable. Well, I say to them, if I have it, I don't think it's expendable. For years, they thought the appendix was expendable. Now they realize that the appendix is there because it holds all the good bacteria and so forth, and when you have a bout of something and you kill all that off, you have a reserve there, can put it back for you. Now, with the gallbladder and the gallstones, gallstones are not made in the gallbladder, they're made in the liver and sent to the gallbladder for storage. It's just cholesterol that that the liver rolls into balls and sends out so it can function correctly. So my doctor says to me, we'll have it out. And I said, well, then how about the idea that the liver's making, still going to be making things now, will have no place to send them? And he says to me, well, you never heard of liver stones, have you? Now, needless to say, I'm not going back to that one either.
No.
And then he went on to tell me that the liver's big enough to hold them. I said, I don't think so, because it's little ducts in there, and if one of the ducts in your liver get clogged up, forget it. You know, it's the old saying. If life's not worth living, it may be the liver. The liver is a very important part of your body, and people don't think, they never think of the liver. And it's all the filtering goes on in the liver. That's why all these pills and so forth are so toxic to the liver. The liver has no idea what to do with that.
Chemicals.
How to get rid of all that and flush it out of your system for you.
That's why alcoholics get cirrhosis of the liver, because of all the chemicals and the sugar in the alcohol.
Yes. So use wisdom with this and do your treatment work and know that this thing we call God is there to help us in every situation, and that these are only little nips and fleas of life. They are not what makes up life. Your car, an event with the car, is not your life. It is just an event. And if it does cost money, then you have to immediately affirm that that money is coming back to you. Instead of saying, oh, if I use this money, now I'll never have money again. You see, you have to realize that your money is always going to be coming to you. So do a visualization. This is a very good visualization. See a string in front of you. And keep pulling the string. Every time you pull the string, money drops. And you pull
the string.
Just pull the string.
I like that. The attic, you can see in an old house. The attic, pull that old string.
Yes. Pull the string.
Instead of the stairs coming down.
Yes. Yes. So use that.
The insulation up there.
Use that.
Yeah, it's the insulation.
And that's how we use our mind, and that's how we use our imagination. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there is a lesson. Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you. Yay. Thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome.
That was great. This is very good, by the way. Yes. Yeah. I love, because they make it like that.